This team, the way that it's structured right now, was their best bet to be able to take LeBron out. To me, it's not going to get any easier.
Oh, it's a wrap.
This organization that you feel has either disrespected you or treated you bad, why would you give them the fulfillment of winning the title only to get kicked out on your butt?
It's the future!
Down and Distance on WGNplus.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of Down and Distance. DAD is the hashtag. My man Sean M. Davis 1 on Twitter. I'm Jared Payton. You know, your host of What's Going Down, always in Chicago sports and sports all around the world. We have a special guest with us today. My man, I've known him for a while now. Actually, thinking back on it, man, I'm getting old, because Brian Crawford and I have been friends for a while now, and we don't see each other unless it's like, has to do something with sports. Slam Magazine's Finest. Dude, you need to come around more, BC. I need more BC time, man.
Man, I'm always around, man. You know my number. Just call me.
I know. You know, being a dad changed my life, man. I'm over here always just on daddy duty, man. I'm trying to get out of this diaper stage, but that's another subject. Let's get into it, man. This is where we do four questions, four downs, and we tackle them. Today, we're going to be shooting them today because
First down.
Not good, especially for Bulls fans out there. The Bulls lose to the Cavs. Oh, man. The series goes down 4-2. The Bulls lost. I don't even want to say this because it just makes my heart hurt. 94-73 was the final. A lot of people frustrated here in Chicago, you know, trying to wrap their head around this. And I hope today, as we go through these four downs, we help you out a little bit, because we're gonna get down to the nitty gritty. We're taking the gloves off on this one. We're gonna talk about it. Both of your guys' feelings about that game last night.
I mean, I feel like they quit. That's just what it was. It was like you didn't even recognize this team, man. Like, after a while, it almost looked like they just stopped running offense, man. It was like the ball wasn't moving. They looked like they didn't know what they wanted to do. You know, Tibbs come out in the fourth quarter with Aaron Brooks and Kirk Heinrich starting. You got Derek sitting in the tunnel riding the bike. It's just like, you know, after that first quarter, man, they just looked disinterested. And you would think, or at least I thought that, you know, that they were, like this group in particular, they were just tired of losing to LeBron. So, you know, even if there's other stuff going on, like inside the organization, inside the front office with Tibbs or whatever like that, you would think that these guys just legitimately wanted to come out and beat LeBron. And then they didn't even take advantage of, you know, they didn't take advantage of J.R. Smith being out two games. They definitely didn't take advantage of Kevin Love being out or Kyrie last night, man. It was just disappointing. So, you know, to see fans filing out the United Center like super early, I get it, man. It was disgusting.
I'll let you go since I asked the question.
I had a feeling early in the day, I told you. My daughter had a ceremony last night, so I was there. Then we went out to dinner after the ceremony and celebrated. So, I didn't even want to check my phone. I just had an eerie feeling last night, man, this is not going to go down good. So, when they were down, what, 12 at halftime? Like 55-43 or something like that.
Yeah.
I put out a post. Is this the last half of the Tibbs era on Facebook? That's just the way it felt like a funeral. It just felt like a funeral. And I wasn't there. BC was there. The only thing I can even relate to that might have been worse is that Saturday when Derrick tore his ACL against the Sixers.
But that actually felt like a funeral. This felt more like indifference.
Okay.
They just didn't.
Almost like, we're ready to get it over.
Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't. The entire season, not really just the playoffs, like the entire season, this team just looked different. You know,
right?
Like the past 4 years, like, you know, we saw them like really and truly like playing with heart, like competing hard, like trying to go out and beat people shorthanded, you know, fully staffed, whatever. Like, you saw it, you know, like you felt it, and it was easy to kind of get behind.
Question.
This season, it just wasn't like that.
Question, because a lot of times when I look at just the, you know, going back in the past with, you know, Derek, to me, this is a big deal that Derek played as high as he did, and we're not talking about injuries going into an offseason. I think that's a big deal. I look at these guys as you were talking about fighting, BC. It felt like they were always fighting for something, especially when Derek wasn't around. Like, you had to prove something because your star wasn't there, and your star comes back, he's playing. I don't feel like they still had that same fight that I saw when he wasn't around. You know, I thought they would pick up like where it left off. Like, okay, without Derek, you saw a team that had to fight for everything that they got, no matter if they won or where they lost. Now Derek's back. Where is that same fight? And I had people who tweeted me last night. Well, they did fight. Well, I get it, but when you look at the score from last night, at the end of the game, and you saw body language. Everybody was talking about that this team quit last night. And you can't tell me that the stuff that's going on in that locker room, you two, with what's going on in the front office, what's going on with Tom, that these players, it hasn't affected them, because it has to have affected them.
I mean, it definitely affected them, man. It's just one of them things where you constantly get asked about the same questions over and over and over again. Like, you know, a lot of times after games, especially like when that Woj article came out,
yeah,
man, nobody cared about, you know, anything other than that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it obviously Tibbs got asked questions, Derek got asked questions, Joe got asked questions. And it's like, yes, it's a story, but I think, you know, it became too much of a story, you know. And at the end of the day, I think it was really all those guys could really focus on. Like, you know, they always try to, and they've been very good about this over the years, like just blocking out everything that comes from outside. But this year, it was just like, I don't know, man. Like, it just kind of got the best of them. It was disheartening to me because of the simple fact that, like, you know, like I said earlier, like, I respected this team because of the fight that they showed. You know, the last 3 years, they've been without Derrick Rose, and these guys competed hard. Like, it didn't even matter. Like, you know, they still won 45 games without Derrick. And this year, it was something that was missing, man. And it's, you know, I don't know if you can really put your finger on one thing, but it was definitely something there that wasn't right. That was easy to pick up on.
I feel you.
Man, it's crazy, man. I don't even know how to feel. I predicted 2 years ago that this would be the year they were winning the championship. I said 2015 is the window for the Bulls to win a championship. So for me, I'm taking a step back and I'm trying to really look at what the issue is. Like, what's the issue?
After they lost
it? BC and I have talked ad nauseum via Twitter, phone, text messages over the last year, had differences concerning Tibbs and his importance, and all I know is that has to be some type of continuity. You don't even have to like each other, but you have to be willing to work together.
You have to.
That's all I'm saying. You have to be willing to work together for the common good. And it seems like, not just on the Bulls side, but also on the White Sox side, with this ownership, there seems to be some type of way that they believe in doing business, that they look more for a yes man.
Okay, I get that.
There you go.
Second down.
A lot of people are pointing fingers this morning. Tom Thibodeau is the guy that a lot of people are pointing fingers at. Is that where the direction, where the finger pointing should be? Or because I believe everybody should. I mean, what you always say when you point a finger, you should point, you know, put your thumb back at you, right? To me, it has to be Garn Pax and Tom together if you're going to put some blame, because you guys tell me if I'm wrong. Tom's not the one that's going out and making decisions he's making more of day-to-day decisions on the basketball court, but when it comes to players going out, maybe finding, bringing in another guy, that's not Tom Thibodeau's job, right?
But go ahead, BC.
It's a top-down issue.
See?
Obviously, the one common denominator is, like, the Bulls and the White Sox is ownership. You know, you look back to the championship runs. They ran Phil Jackson out of here. You know, Michael Jordan said, I refuse to come back if Phil don't come back. That's exactly what happened. You know, and then they, you know, when Michael Jordan retired, he was never a part of the Bulls. Like, he left Chicago. Then, you know, come a few years later, you got You know, you got issues between, you know, Pax and Vinny Del Negro. You can even go back to Scott Skiles. What, he got fired on, like, Christmas Eve or something that. And now you got, you know, now you got beef with Tibbs. So it's definitely a top-down issue. I mean, as far as pointing blame, I mean, I guess Tibbs is the easy scapegoat.
Because
they lost. But you got to think about this, too. They were reluctant to offer him a contract extension a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always been that tension there. And if Tibbs came into this season knowing that he wasn't going to be back, or if that didn't really manifest itself until like the midway point of the year or whatever, what's his incentive to coach for a championship if you're going to get fired anyway? Like, why would you want to give this organization that you feel has either disrespected you or treated you bad? Why would you give them the fulfillment of winning the title only to get kicked out on your butt? I mean, I think.
What are you playing for?
What you coaching? Exactly. Like, what are you coaching for? And like, I mean, and you even look at the way Tibbs coached this season. Questionable rotations.
Yeah.
Pulling guys and putting in other guys that shouldn't be out on the court. Tony Snell. You know, and just it just wasn't classic Tibbs. I don't think Tibbs is an offensive genius, but I think Tibbs is a really, really good coach. He's not an X's and O's guy, but he's definitely a good defensive coach, mm-hmm. and he's great at player development. And I just feel like he just kind of coasted through the season, man, because he knew he was going to be gone anyway.
Both you guys, man, I lean on both of you for when we talk about basketball. You know, I'm a football guy, so understanding, man, I can shoot a jump shot. When it comes down to understanding everything, the X's and O's, I lean on you two. So a lot of people in the beginning of last year before the season started were talking about the one thing that was such a problem is scoring was a problem, figuring out to get more scores. We need more scores. That's all I heard. We need more scores. So now do you buy into a lot of people that are out there in the media, fans that talk about, well, Tom's not an offensive coach. He's only a defensive coach. You have offensive-minded guys. How is that going to work? Do you buy into that?
I mean, we knew that. We knew that from, what, the first year that he wasn't a great X's and O's guy. I mean, they got all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals on the back of Derrick Rose. Like, that's just what it was. I think the issue that I got with Tibbs as far as offensively this year, it all starts with Joakim Noah. Now, we know Joakim had knee surgery. He was hurt. He wasn't 100%. But the last two seasons or last three seasons that Derrick Rose is out, the offense ran through Joakim Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Everything ran through Joakim Noah, and it looked good. It looked fluid. It looked smooth. The only thing we needed was just some more scores, right?
But that was familiar to what Joe had done under Billy Donovan at Florida.
Exactly. But then you turn around and you get a guy like Pau Gasol, who was a great low post player, great mid-range shooter. And obviously you want to use that as a weapon, but you can't make Joakim Noah a bystander. You got to figure out something for him to do.
Which he became.
You know, he became a bystander, and he became very, very inefficient. He couldn't even make a layup, man.
There was a point the other night where the offense was moving. It was in the first quarter. It was Joe gave, I think it was, the ball movement was unbelievable. It got to Joe, like, right in the paint, and it went to Taj, right?
Yeah.
And I was going, This is what I need to see.
That goes back. There are certain combinations that Joe works very well with.
Mm-hmm.
When Taj is on the court, he can go back to that movement. When Powell is on the court, you don't know what Powell. The one thing that upset me about Powell, if you run pick and roll with him 90% of the time, he's popping.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're 7 feet, dude. You have to dive even if you affect the rest of the defense.
Well,
because they have to honor you on the dive. Just dive so somebody else can be open on the backside.
I think that's part of getting older though too. Because you know, I mean, you see every old cat in the league from Kobe Bryant to KG. They shoot that jumper. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Off the pick and roll. They don't go to the rack no more. But, you know, a lot of talk was made about Joakim and Powell not being able to play together. I don't believe that. I think you could put Joakim on the court with anybody. He could play with anybody. You gotta scheme it. Right. I don't think they did that. When Powell came to Chicago last summer, I'm like, oh, man, this is it.
This is it.
This is it.
This is what everybody said.
This is what you're looking for right here. And they didn't use it right. It looked bad.
I actually posted a couple of plays that I thought with that combination would work, especially with Derrick. And I ran a play that Billy Donovan runs at Florida a lot, that he used to run with Horford. I mean, those are two big guys that he had, Horford and Joe.
The high low?
The double screen.
Mm-hmm.
And forget the Green.
Yeah,
the
point guard.
Torian Green would come off of it, right? And then they would have one, the second guy setting the screen would dive. And then the first guy would either dive to give a double dive. They would be wide open on the second dive. Or he would go immediately to the corner and screen for the guy coming up for the 3-point.
Well, I think you could do that in college because the game moves a lot slower. And, you know, the players don't react as fast as they do in the NBA.
But it's some of the same action that Popovich does with.
Yeah.
Tiago Splitter, let's be honest, it's not an offensive threat.
Mm-mm.
But for some reason, because of the ball and man movement,
mm-hmm.
he can make plays to Tim Duncan when he gets the ball at the free throw line, or he dives hard and either he gets to the free throw line or he gets layups or he makes a pass.
The other thing, too, that really surprised me, I saw it all season, they got outworked every single game.
Now, that was the biggest problem.
They got outworked.
Yeah.
Tristan Thompson is not that good.
No, but he.
Tristan Thompson got paid.
They just got him a contract
in this series.
Yeah, paid.
He's not that good.
But
they
couldn't
rebound. They couldn't box out. They couldn't find anybody.
That was like one of the stats that was telling to me was the team that won the rebounding battle won the game. That's in the whole entire series. And so you're looking at, to me, the team to see the Bulls, and I want to take your guys' thoughts on this because it's. I remember being on the game and talking about what a year, if you go back a year, that Taj had. And Taj just seemed like the same thing that you were talking.
Hurt.
What?
He's hurt.
The same thing that you were talking about.
I think he regressed, and we talked about that a little bit.
You know, I don't think he regressed. I think Taj just has a real hard time staying out of foul trouble. And I don't know if it's him, I don't know if it's refs or the refs, but he gets the worst fouls called on him of anybody in the league.
Yeah, that technical foul, the other night was
not
horrible.
Even that, but like. If he's just going up for a reap, like if he's anywhere in the vicinity of the ball, the ref's going to blow the whistle on him. For just any minor infraction, I've never seen anything like that. I've noticed it the past 2 years. It's bad.
I mean, we're talking 2 years ago offensively. I started it, you know, as we talked earlier before the podcast started, we were saying that it's hard with the way that basketball is to be watching every single game, but you do get a chance to sit and catch games and to see the offensively how he got better to this year. You guys talk about him being hurt. I just didn't know if it was a part of the same thing that you were, you know, with Powell coming, this what was going to be his role anyway. And was that role not there, kind of like the same way, BC, you were talking about with Joakim?
Attitude-wise, you might have a point. Because I think the one person that probably thought they might be a starter and then all of a sudden you get Powell.
What's Taj? He got recruited over.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So it's like now he's like, man, the beginning of the season, he might not have been there.
Yeah.
His heart might have not been there. I saw regression a little bit. I'm tired of Taj getting the ball and having to bounce it and gather. I'm tired of that. Make a move. Jump hook.
But he has all that though.
But he never uses it.
So now I'm starting to wonder,
like, are you the type of player that gets in pressure situations and all of a sudden everything you learned and worked on, you totally forget it?
You know what, though?
Because if you're telling me I got that black card and I got, you know, I got the Visa in my pocket and I'm not pulling it out, something wrong there. You got to pull all your tricks out,
Taj was even working on, this might go back to the scheme, because the previous 2 years, Taj had worked on that little 8 to 10 foot baseline jumper as mm-hmm. well. And he was getting it consistently
mm-hmm.
when Joe was the person that was the offense was running through. Now, Derek, I love D Rose, but for some reason they fall in love with the dribble when Derek comes back.
Yeah. You could have Derek Rose, Jimmy Butler, Pau Gasol, and anybody else on the floor at the same time, and they can all be effective. If you run the offense through Joakim Noah, firmly believe that.
Wow.
Joakim Noah is a great facilitator. He averaged 2 assists in this series. Last season, he was almost up to six? Like he's been like he was one of the Bulls' leading assist man. Like last year when Derek was out, you could run it through him. I don't know, man. This whole year just kind of baffled me because they didn't do anything I thought they could have done or should have done.
Now, from an attitude standpoint, was there any spite? Tom Thibodeau is known for working hard, grinding it out, wanting to win every game. But there had to be a little part of him that was spiteful towards Garpax.
Absolutely.
It had to be.
There's no question.
There had to be, right?
That's what I said. He wasn't
going. You can't consistently be undermined and mistreated, and people think you're just going to go about your business and do your job, well, as he says, well, to the players.
But that's what I'm saying. What's your motivation for winning the championship? Yeah. I'm out.
But Thibodeau doesn't seem like that type of guy, though.
What?
That's not him.
Tibbs?
Yeah.
That's exactly him.
No, I'm saying to just conform to what somebody is telling you that you have to do this.
No. I don't know if y'all saw the report today, but obviously, you know, you had Fred Hoiberg as being one of the people mentioned.
Adrian Griffin and now
Alvin Gentry out in LA. Yeah. But the key thing that the Bulls are looking for is compliance in the coach. That's why I said they want a yes man.
Which is why Robin Ventura is now the manager of the White Sox.
Yeah, but a yes man is not going to win you a championship.
How the White Sox doing?
Hey, yes man's not going to – that's not going to win you a championship.
No.
It's exactly what we talked about last week, BC, in our last podcast. We talked about it, to win a championship, you better have some dogs on your team.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Right? It's a top-down issue. I firmly believe that the attitude inside the Bulls organization and the White Sox organization is what – Jerry Krause echoed years ago, players don't win championships, organizations do. That is the attitude. That is the attitude. So they can find them a compliant yes man all they want. But you're not going to win a title like that.
It's different when you have a guy like Michael Jordan or you got a guy like LeBron James that's in your locker room.
Exactly. I mean,
you don't have that.
I mean, even the championship the White Sox won, man, they got hot at the right time.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't start out the season, like, on fire like that.
No, they were actually the first team to 20 wins, the first team to 30, the first team to 50.
That year?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know.
And then the second half, they came out in the second half, and Cleveland got hot.
Right.
And cut it to, like, a game and a half. And then
because I do remember they was on the ropes. Again. They was on the ropes.
In August.
Yeah.
And then the White Sox got hot again. Going from the beginning, staff got hot.
Yeah,
but
that's
for the
what
beginning,
it was.
Though, but the beginning of the season, where was Vegas saying that they were going to
win?
No.
That's the team came out of nowhere.
Exactly.
They've never been
so
a favorite.
It just was like,
and it'll never be done. You don't have American League Championship Series, four consecutive starters with four complete games.
Mm-hmm.
Like he said, it was a Cinderella year. That will never happen again.
No. But conversely, you look at the Bulls, everybody thought this was their year.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it should have been. I mean, this is the best chance because now it's not going to get any easier.
Oh, it's a wrap.
I mean, LeBron is not this right now. This team, the way that it's structured right now, was their best bet to be able to take LeBron out and go win a championship.
I'm not going that far.
No,
I'm not going that far. There's a lot of people that are treating it as a funeral.
No.
Not on the Bulls side.
I'm talking about on.
Look at it.
With LeBron's side,
I don't think LeBron is an issue no more.
No, LeBron is getting old.
This was supposed to be it.
Yeah,
he was supposed to run into these Bulls and get mowed down, especially after Kevin Love went out, and you know they had a cake series against the Celtics. This was supposed to have been it for him.
But if I'm in the league, man. Playing with LeBron is still something that would be appetizing. So you're going to still have his opportunity, if he is calling the shots in Cleveland like he is, to set up things around the way that he wants them to be.
This team ain't that good,
That's what I'm saying, though. Isn't there an opportunity for him to maybe get more talent around him?
He couldn't get people to come to Cleveland when he was there the first time. Chris Bosh, he recruited Chris Bosh hard. He wanted to stay in Cleveland. He wanted Chris Bosh to come with him. Chris Bosh was like, I'm going to Miami. LeBron was like, all right, I'm going to Miami too. He couldn't get people to come to Cleveland then. But my thing with these Bulls, though, now, you got to blow it up. The city ain't going to rally behind this core players no more.
Blow it up? What do you mean blow it up?
Yeah, what do you mean?
You got to change the entire personnel from the coaching staff all the way down. We can't get back. Listen.
Wow.
When you mean blow up.
You want to watch this team for another 2-3 years?
BC, when you say blow up, you mean everything?
C4.
So you mean a new philosophy. From top down. Brand new philosophy, brand new coach, brand new coaching staff, brand new core. When you talk about the core, is Derek in your core moving forward?
Not after his deal is up.
So that's like the 2 years.
Yeah, well, he got what? Next season or the season after that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mirotić is there.
He's there.
That's their guy. He's there.
Jimmy is there.
Jimmy is there.
Everybody else?
Is a maybe. And Powell has another year.
And I love Derek to death. Y'all know that.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's about that time. Got to move on.
Maybe for him and for the organization.
Yeah, for him and the organization. I think he's given all that he has.
Yeah.
I think he gave all that he has. He hurt himself doing it a few times. He needed to change the scenery.
We talked about that.
I'm cool with that. I mean, no hard feelings. I agree with you. I think it's tough because in this day and age where we can see one person stay in, I mean, that's like the dream setting. If you would ask me when I was coming up, like, man, what would be your dream scenario when I was leaving Miami? The Bears to draft
play for
me.
The Bears.
So yeah. I could be at home, play at home. Like, this is the team that I grew up watching. It's a dream scenario for him, but everybody needs a change of scenery every once in a while.
Plus, it ain't no loyalty in this town, man.
Yeah, it's tough.
Speaking of loyalty, I'll just throw this out there. We all know the angst that Lou left here with mm-hmm. when he went down to Miami. Let's be real. Lou is still tight.
Yeah.
With the guys on this roster. Is there anything Lou has told these guys to say, watch yourself?
Does he need to?
Look out for you.
Does he need to say that?
Or have they seen what has happened with him, what has happened with Joe, what has happened with Derek, especially with their health?
The Bulls are shooting themselves in the foot, man, just by how they run their business off the court. Who wants to come here and play? This might be the toughest coaching job in the NBA. Definitely the toughest city to play in. And I say it's the toughest coaching job because you can't just come in and do what you do. Like I said, they want a compliant person. So unless you fall in line from the gate.
If they wanted a compliant person, why did they get Tibbs in the first place?
Because he was the best choice.
Because he was the best choice.
So they didn't recognize the fact that there might be some friction?
But hey, guess what?
Up front?
But
you rolled a dice then.
You're rolling the dice.
You have Vinny Del Negro.
What are you going to do? You know what? It's just like being in a relationship. You know, you see somebody that's, you know, they cheated before in their previous relationship, and then you think you could come and you could change that. Like, oh, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's like trying to bake a cake and you don't have any flour or yeast.
Yeah.
Everybody feels like
they can
change.
You can do all of that. If you don't put the right pieces around Derek, you can have the best coach,
look at this
the
town.
Best facilities, all of that.
Yeah. But look at this
town.
It's
not getting done.
Have we not talked about this before? And just that we could flip it to another team in this city. People are still talking about that they feel like Adam Gase could actually fix Jay Cutler and make him a better quarterback. People are still believing in that, and they've seen what the deal is.
Listen.
Anything's possible. If people think that they can change Jay Cutler, then I believe that, guess what, Garn Pax were like, listen, we know this guy's got – he's kind of hard-headed, but, you know, once it gets here, we'll figure out. Listen, he'll fall in line with what we're doing. Yeah. Okay, roll the dice. Look what happened.
So now
– didn't work out.
If they lose Tibbs or when they lose
when Tibbs. When they lose Tibbs.
When.
Who wants to come here?
To play or coach?
Coach.
I mean, Adrian Griffin has been there. I mean, does he take the job just to be able to be a head coach?
Listen, I love AG. I really do. But I think he's very similar to Tibbs in that his specialty.
He's a defensive specialist.
Not even that. I mean, he's good on the defensive end of the ball, but his specialty is really player development. I mean, he's the reason why Taj Gibson is so good. He's the reason why Joakim Noah is so good. He's the reason why Jimmy Butler is so good. Because he puts in the time with these guys and he demands that of them, and they demand it of themselves when they're working out for him. But can he coach? Like, do they need another motivational type dude? Because that's what Tibbs was. They basically just adopted his gruff attitude. All right, we gonna come out and we're going to beat everybody. You know, we're not the most talented team, but we're going to work hard.
And Ozzie Guillen lines up with Thibodeau to me.
True.
Hey, he was supposed to have been out
that
way
lines up.
Before.
So if that's the case.
And he won a championship.
He won a title. If Ozzie lines up with Tibbs, then you're about to get a Robin Ventura hire?
It's not good.
Somebody that used to play or that was in the organization
has been around. That's not good, bro.
I mean, look, listen, man, at the end of the day, as a head coach, you don't want to be undermined. Like, you like you want to go in there.
Is there any other situation in the NBA where that goes on? Have you ever seen a coach at that level consistently undermined?
No, I think that's very unique and exclusive to Chicago.
Hardest coaching job in the NBA.
In the NBA. Because not only do you got to deal with management, you got to deal with a fair weather fan base. You got to deal with fair weather media. As a member of the media, like, I really, like, feel not necessarily partially responsible. Not responsible at all, but I feel like the media really and truly, like, shape the narrative around this Bulls team and the way people feel about them and view them. Like, I had somebody on Twitter tell me that, you know, this team wasn't good enough. I'm like, are you stupid? What you mean they
from
weren't
a talent
good? From a talent standpoint, I'm like, so you legitimately think that the Cavs beat the Bulls? You gotta be an idiot if you think that. If you didn't think this team with Derrick Rose coming back, Jimmy Butler emerging, the addition of Pau Gasol is not good enough.
Then
who do you need?
BC, they could have won the series.
They should have won this series. Well, the way the Wizards is playing, that would have been tough. But
they could have beaten them.
They could have beaten them. They definitely could beat Atlanta. No question in my mind.
I mean,
this was it.
Dude, this makes me sick.
We got a question from one of our Facebookers, Ozell Jameson. He says, when is the media going to hold guard packs accountable? For 5 years, we've needed low post toughness, and they haven't gotten us anybody. This team is soft.
Listen, I've told you.
You can't.
I'm just telling you. If I'm pointing fingers, just because of where they're sitting and where their chairs are, doesn't mean that they're a part of the problem too.
Well, here's the thing.
Really, are they part of the problem? I mean, this is what, their third coaching hire, and bro, this would be that if they totally break it up and blow it up, this would be that third time putting the team together. First of all, you don't get that in the NBA.
No.
Well, here's the account.
It's like, rare that you get that.
Here's the media thing. Like, you can't speak ill of the front office if you want to keep your access. It's just what it is. Like, Joe Cowley is incredible because of the simple fact that, put it like this, if Joe Cowley didn't write for the Sun-Times, he would not be around. No doubt in my mind, he would not be. I know people who consistently speak ill of the Bulls who can't come to a practice, let alone come to a game. So you kind of have to temper what it is that you say about them. Like, we know all of the guys who hate the Bulls in the media in this town. And I can confirm to you that those guys, with the exception of Joe Cowley, are nowhere around this team. Why is that? That's not happenstance. It's by design. They want, you know what I'm saying, like, they want the feel-good stories. They want the fluff pieces, and they want, you know, the occasional criticism, but not drop the hammer on them. So nobody's going to hold them accountable for that. Can't. Now if you want to stay in the game, you can't do it.
But if you're telling me this roster was good enough, how can you hold them accountable?
Well, I think
if you're
was
telling
good
me
enough.
The roster that they put together was good enough.
This is the best job they did. Assembling the team that can win. This is it. Came down to the coach. Yeah, it pissed him off. He was, like I said, he was not going to leave.
He was not about to win a title and then walk out the door.
Because he was going to get fired anyway, and he knew it. So, like I said, if I'm out the door.
Wow, this is crazy.
Why am I going to give you my A1 effort?
He said that.
If I'm out the door.
I mean, if I already have 1 foot out the door, I'm just, and I already know I'm going. Why am I going to leave? I don't want to leave something good here.
Man, to me, this just sounds like everything was put together on paper and looked really good.
Yeah.
We talked about the spitefulness with Taj when Powell came. We talked about the spitefulness that Tibbs has. We talk about the spitefulness that might have been there for Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Being pushed to get back and not really, you know, having concern for his health. And what they pushed him through to eventually lose to the Wizards. I mean, Joakim Noah, that's why you I'm not falling in line with everybody else.
Yeah, like
it's talking about Joe. Yeah, all of a sudden, do you realize what this dude gave?
Yeah, all of a sudden
to this organization. Everybody's in the now, absence of Derrick Rose.
Right. All of a sudden now everybody's saying Joakim Noah is washed. He need to be, you know, he need to be shipped out. Like what?
What?
Joakim Noah? Like this? Like no, that? And that's the other thing too. Hold on, let me say this. Not to cut you off. That's the other thing too. Joakim Noah, the last three seasons, drove this bus.
Yes.
Everybody in that locker room took on his attitude.
Yeah.
He didn't have it. It was completely missing from this year. Completely. Joakim Noah was not the same person. He was not the same player. I don't know if it was a physical thing. I don't know if it was something going on internally that we don't know about. But that energy, that heart, that even the scream, that was gone.
Yeah.
Everything was gone. Like, it was no, like, I don't know, man. It was really something missing this year. It was really something missing. And to the coaching thing, let me give you another comparable example. Monty Williams in New Orleans, right? So he gets fired. He actually lasted a lot longer than I thought he would after that series ended. But he gets fired, and then it comes out. They say, well, they told him that if you make the playoffs, you keep your job, right? Lets me know that, first of all, they was going to fire him anyway.
Right.
And secondly, they didn't expect to make the playoffs. They
almost tried to undermine
it. Yeah, they didn't expect to make the playoffs. So he makes the playoffs. That Steph Curry game winner was the end of it. He was done after that. Then they turn around a couple weeks later, they fire him, and everybody's stunned. I'm like, I called it after Steph hit that shot. I'm like, yo, if this dude lasts till Wednesday after that go down, I'm going to be surprised. But, yeah, they was going to get him out of there anyway, man. That's just what this game has become. You could be a winning coach, and he wasn't a winning coach. Like, he got them better every year, and they squeaked into the playoffs. You can win 50 games and get whacked in this league now. Don't even matter.
Organizations can ruin teams, man.
Oh, no question.
Look at the Lakers. Look at the change up top. Man, you can ruin a team.
Look at the Knicks.
Upper management can ruin a team.
So that's where I'm saying that it you have to – it's not all the pointing the finger at what's going on above, but I believe if you're going to start pointing fingers, it's got to be pointed at everybody. You know, if you don't give enough on the court – on the field, then you should be pointing at if it goes up and above and there's a relationship that can't be fixed or it's spilling over into what's going on. Come on, man. Like,
to me, the players did a pass.
To me, this is my deal. You have to anytime that you come out every single year, it's funny when people say this and then people get mad at them when you hear somebody at the beginning of the year saying, yeah, we're gonna go all the way. You should believe you're going to go all the way. What you coming into the season being like, no, I'm going home early. I don't care if it doesn't end up that way.
Yeah.
When you come into the season, that's what everybody's playing for. To win championships and to be a part of that in my career, dude, it takes so much, man. It takes so much to win. And everybody all in.
That's the only thing it takes to win. That one thing, everybody got to be
everybody
all in.
Everybody has to be all in.
And you're not from just talking about the locker room.
From
no,
the top
I'm talking
down.
About, and so, and I hate keep going back to this, you guys, but when I was at Miami, that's how, dude, everybody was all in. The players were all in. Coaches were all in, even from the top. Now you start looking at coaches, like successful coaches. Nick Saban, he's all in. And everybody above him is all in. Why do you think they keep winning?
When that change is made.
Duffel bag money. You know what though? What? They're all in. Yeah.
But the Michael Jordan Bulls, they was an exception.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
They was an exception.
I'm cool with that.
Because them boys, they was all in at a locker room level.
Yeah.
They didn't care nothing about that was going up here. These boys wanted to win. And that's what I thought this team, that's the attitude I thought this team was going to have.
See?
You've been knocked out by LeBron James plenty of times. This is your only rival. This is it. Him. He's the only thing standing between you and the championship. You can't muster up enough inside to say, you know what? I know all of this stuff is going on, but this is LeBron. We got to knock this dude off. They ain't had that. So that was no buy-in even at the locker room level. It's depressing.
So the locker room had been infiltrated.
I don't know if it was infiltrated, man. I just think, you know, like you got a situation,
it was a
man.
Sickness that had been.
You know what? I just think they was tired, man, and I just think they felt the disloyalty in this town.
It's tough.
I think they felt the disloyalty.
I'll speak from this angle. I know Derrick feels the disloyalty in this town.
Joe
and I
King
think that
too.
goes to what BC has been saying. It might be time for Derrick to go.
Why does Joe King Noah have to defend Derrick Rose every time you look up? Why do I got to defend Derrick Rose every time I look up?
Hold on, why are we even sitting here trying to defend Joe King Noah right now? For what all, some of these people are saying that you were talking about, BC. For real?
I love him, man. I love Joe King.
There were people upset with Michael Jordan when he left.
Yeah. Listen, man, this town, incredible. Like, the sports fans in this town are like no other in the country. I've never seen anything like it. Because I've been to other places. Listen, they ride and die for Kobe in L.A., man. That dude is a god out there. I'm talking about when they was blaming him for the free agency woes and all that, his contract, man, they didn't care less. They couldn't care less. They love Kobe.
New York is the same about Patrick Ewing.
They ride.
About the 72 Knicks.
They ride. Not around here, though. When it's what you tell me, Sean? When Derrick Rose hit that game winner, everybody was on the bandwagon, right?
They were. I saw people who I talked to who would talk bad about D. Rose who were just like in awe.
Yeah.
It was just, even Twitter was crazy. It was like people forgot about everything else.
And then he turned around and go 4-for-20. He sucked.
He needs to, what's going on?
He just hit a game winner. Now I'm saying he terrible? Come on, man. That's just what Chicago is. That's your Chicago sports fan right there. So not only is this the toughest coaching job in the NBA, this is the toughest city to play in the league.
I know.
They won't fire him, right?
Listen.
Who? The Bulls won't fire him.
Fire who?
Tibbs. They have to hold out. They have to hold out and let a bidding war.
What kind of bidding? What you going to get?
Some type of pick.
If it's New Orleans.
Some type of compensation.
If it's New Orleans, what you going to get? They don't have a lottery pick. They made the playoff.
Orlando does.
They offering 2 second rounders.
The Lakers.
He's going to New Orleans. So what is New Orleans going to give up?
If I was him, I would go to New Orleans too.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the second best player in my opinion.
So what they going to get? They going to get what? First round draft pick next year? Yeah, after that, maybe a second rounder. What you going to do with that?
Because you can't trade a player for a coach.
No.
They nixed that.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
So, Davis. I'm hoping somebody is stupid enough to say, man, here, you can have our first round pick, our lottery pick. That's what I'm hoping. Wishful thinking. You have to get something for this dude. Something. You can't fire him. You have to at least give the other teams to make a mistake.
They fired plenty of coaches.
But I'm just saying.
It's not
hold
ideal.
Out. Make those other teams come to you and say, man, can we talk to him? Sure, you can talk to him.
Third down.
I just want to talk to Chicago for a minute. I think as far as like sports towns go, this is probably one of the best sports towns in the country. But we got to support our players better. We got to. And we can't just be fair weather. And we can't allow our perceptions to be shaped by media people with agendas, trying to spin narratives, trying to push stories. And you can't allow that to affect how you view your team. I'm not just talking about the Bulls. I'm talking about the White Sox, the Bears, the Cubs. You pay attention to what these guys do on the field. You pay attention to what they do on the court. You pay attention to how they carry themselves. There's no reason for Joe King Noah to get no hate in this town as much stuff as he does. There's no reason for Derrick Rose to get hate in this town as much as he does. Like, at the end of the day, yeah, we all competitive. We all want to win. You know, we want a championship that we haven't had since, 1998? But you know what, though? You got to ride good or bad, man. You can't just be on board when everything is going good and then when it goes south, you want to go south too. That's not how it works. That's not a championship city. That's not a championship attitude or mindset. So Chicago, support what y'all got, man, because you look up and we'll be the Orlando Magic.
You know, all over again.
All over again.
Benny the Bull at O'Hare, welcome in free agents.
Detroit Pistons.
You see what Patriots Nation is doing?
They riding.
Oh, they riding.
They going against Goodell in the NFL. Like,
listen.
What?
Tom Brady. They got his back in New England.
They got his back. They rolling with him.
Ain't nobody on the Bulls roster can say that somebody in Chicago got their back, that the fan base got their back. And that's sad, because why would they want to come here and play? Why would anybody want to come here and play? You got to think about that, man. A lot of that stuff, like, you think these players don't pay attention to fan feedback?
This goes back to the narrative, man.
Yeah.
When people start saying, man, players today, they don't care what happened to Michael Jordan.
Yes, okay. They do.
All right.
Just do me a favor, Sean.
Now we got, man, now it's happening to Derek. Now it's happening to Joe. It's happened to Luau.
Do me a favor. Just to touch on what BC said and what you said. Can you insert my song right here, please?
Which song is that?
You don't know what you got till it's gone.
I'm trying to tell you.
Got you.
That's real.
You, I got you. That we didn't know that when Mike and Pip left. It got real thin around here.
Look, man.
And then we went and got another Iowa State coach. I hope we don't make that mistake again.
Bulls fans, y'all can enjoy mediocrity, man. A couple playoff appearances, early round exits.
Guess what?
That's it.
Guess what?
Fourth and goal.
Jaden has been flip-flopping, right? One minute he loves hockey. The next minute he loves the Bulls.
It's both, man. His
eye coordination with the bat and the ball is pretty amazing.
It's ridiculous.
His jump shot.
Lefty.
It's pretty dope,
yeah,
too.
His jump shot. And I ain't teaching him because I don't have a jump shot, so I'm not teaching him anything with basketball. I mean, he just understands it by watching TV.
That might be his sport.
I'll tell you
I'm
this.
I'm interested in asking you two guys. Your son plays.
Oh.
Yeah.
If your son tells you he wants to go to the league, are you letting him, or are you telling him you got to play in the public league? Are
NBA?
You?
Oh, if he's trying to go to the league, trying to go to the NBA, do I put him in the public league? No question.
Are you looking at me now?
No, I'm looking at you. If Jaden wants to play football.
Listen,
away from the public.
Hold up. Oh, absolutely.
No. Listen, I'll tell
but
you.
But the question out there in the burbs is, are you putting them in a public? Because, you know, you went to Viator.
Yeah, I went there
and
to play
soccer. You tried to transfer. A lot of people don't know that story.
Yeah, I tried to transfer to go back to play football at Barrington. Dad nixed that real quick.
Pops was like, nah.
Yeah. I didn't tell my pops.
This story's crazy.
I was actually working out doing 7-on-7 with Barrington because all my boys went there, and it was right down the street. So I was doing 7-on-7. I was going to some meetings in the summer, and my dad found out and came home and – it was late at night, and he was like, get your stuff, let's go. And he took me over to St. Viator. There was one light on in Viator, and it was Coach Kevin Kelly. He was sitting up in his office. He brings me up there, and he closes the door. He's like, tell him where you been.
So we've been talking about loyalty. That's why I brought this up, man, because you have my daughter, national champs. They won a national championship up in Wisconsin, her cheer team. And we have some kids that have been – recruited by other programs, and it's like, okay, just because, you know, you get more with the fees from a suburban program,
mm-hmm.
you think it's better for your child. You just left a national championship team,
no,
and a coach that took your child from age 4 to age 12 and gave her the ability to be attractive to those other programs. So it's like, you know, that's what I want to know. Where's the loyalty? Do you flip-flop? You know, if he's that good, your son is that good, and, you know, like MJ, his son was at Loyola.
And he went.
All of a sudden, he said, man,
he's Whitney Young.
See?
Like, where's the loyalty, even with kids? We have parents, like, taking kids out of programs that have created and built their kids up.
I don't want to have to do that.
Saying that they're giving them a better situation.
But what I do want to do is, I'll be honest with this. I'm going to do is, and I'm glad that we have all these means to find out information now. I'm going to make, if my son says, Dad, this is going to be my goal, I want to do this, or we start to see the progression that he's a great athlete, I'm going to, whatever it takes, wherever it's going to be the best for him, I'll sacrifice. So if that means I got to, wherever he needs to go to play, whatever's going to be best for him and best suited, that's what I'm going to do.
Exactly. That's what you're supposed to do. You put your kids in the best situation for them to succeed. You look at Wayne Blackshear. He started out with Rick Curry. I love Mike Oliver. I think he's a great coach.
Yeah.
But
I'm not taking him out, though, BC.
Wayne went to Morgan Park. And you see what happened.
Once he's there, it's not going. Because what happened, in that conversation up in that room.
With you in football, hold up. Would you move to Texas or Florida for Jaden?
See, that's different.
It's the Midwest.
And then look, let me give you another one. Anthony Davis, he went to Perspectives, right?
Right.
They suck. They won 6 games this senior year. He could have went anywhere in the city. He stayed loyal. Worked out for him.
I like that.
Yeah.
Because if you're good, you're good.
Yeah, I don't know about moving to
another
state.
Number one player on the worst team in the city.
In the country.
In the country, yeah.
But the one thing that I'm going to teach him is what my dad said to me about 2 minutes after he slammed that door. He opened it back up and said, "You're not going anywhere. You're staying right here. You're going to finish what you started here."
You were mad, too.
But what year were you, man? Junior?
I was a senior. It was my senior year.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
So I was like, what? But I could have went from private to public and played. So I could have just went. But my dad said, "Nah, you're not going to do this." Like,
I kind of get that.
You know what I mean?
That part
But to me, that was a long-lasting impression that he left on me. So now anything else that I do, you talk about loyalty? I didn't want to get into this because I just kind of sat back and I was chilling for a little bit. But loyalty? Dude, let's be honest. My dad could have went somewhere else and played for another couple years.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. Because he didn't want his name to be on another jersey. Even though maybe people that were in the organization thought he was done and he didn't feel like he was done, he was like, "You know what? For the sake of just my legacy, I'm done."
Different time, different era, though.
You see what I'm saying? Like, it just done. As an athlete, you know how hard that is, especially for a competitor to be like, "Nah, like, I want to..." Some people's minds, man. My dad's mind was a little bit different. And you look at some of these guys, you look at what Jordan went through. Like, Mike is you talk about competitor. Like, I've seen those two like go at it over Miss Pac-Man, fam. Like, I'm talking about upset over Miss Pac-Man. Like, who won? Like, "Now we gotta play again." I'm like, dude, it's 4 a.m. What are y'all doing?
They trying to win.
Like, that competitiveness. So to see when Mike was going through that time, I knew it. I'm like, I've seen this man up in close and personal. I know he don't want to just stop.
I mean, there's a line between loyalty and stupidity, though.
Yeah.
I think sometimes you have to know when it's time to bow out.
You have to. And that's where it comes in, where you start to, and you don't understand how it affects, especially your legacy. And not everybody, I mean, we all have one that leaves, but some people's are more in the limelight. So,
man, ain't no love in the heart of the city, man.
Definitely not this one.
Well, now we can close it out. That whole part,
that was fourth down.
I know it was fourth down. That's why I knew you were doing that.
That was a 2-point conversion.
Yeah, I know.
Had to get the kids in there.
So thank you, everybody, for tuning in to Down and Distance. My man Brian Crawford, thank you very much for stopping by, bro. We appreciate you as always. Sean M. Davis 1 on Twitter. Man, do what you do, homie.
Picasso.
Hey, we'll be back next week talking about everything that has to do with your kids and camps in the summer, where they should go, where they can go. We got that for you. Be on the lookout. Everything's on WGNplus.com. Yeah, as always, we were here, but now we're gone. Peace.